Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. There are times in our lives when we experience pain. It's unavoidable. But God can use your pain to bring about good. Today we continue in a series called, Where is God When It Hurts? In this series, Pastor Rick shows us the five choices you can make to benefit from your pain and the four ways you can use the pain in your life to help others heal. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a life-changing Bible study from Pastor Rick called Unshakable. This study, based on the book of Daniel, will help you handle life's most unexpected circumstances and extreme pressures. To find out more, go to PastorRick.com right now while you listen to today's broadcast. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called, How Can I Benefit from My Pain?
God uses pain to help you fulfill each of your life purposes. Sadly, most people don't know this. Most people waste their suffering. They don't profit from their problems. They don't learn from their losses. They don't harvest their hurts. They don't improve from their injuries. They don't advance from their adversity. They don't gain from their pain. And this is why St. Paul asks the question in Galatians 3, verse 4, there on your outline. Have you gone through all of this for nothing? Is it all really for nothing? Now, let me review again. You're going to have pain in your life. The issue is, are you going to waste it? Let me ask you, up to this point in your life, have you wasted the pain in your life? You say, well, I don't know. I may have. Well, it's not too late to start benefiting. You're not through with pain. You're going to have pain in the future in your life. So it's not too late to start benefiting from it. So today, let's look at five ways to benefit from any kind of pain, emotional, relational, all of these different, or physical. And these are choices or actions that you can take, and they're all found right here in God's Word. All right, you taking notes? Here's the five ways you can benefit from your own pain if you'll make these choices. Number one, use my pain to draw closer to God in worship. Use my pain to draw closer to God in worship. Now, you know that when anything happens painful in your life, you've got a choice. You can run to God or you can run from God. And you know what? I've noticed in life about half people do both. Half people run toward God when they're in pain, and about half people run away from God in pain. Now, the second way never seemed to make sense, because how are you going to get any comfort when you're running from God? You know that when you're in pain, your prayers get more real. Your worship gets more real. Your heart gets more tender. Personally, I've spent more time alone with God in the years since my youngest son died by taking his life than in all the previous years. Because in the grief of that loss, what kept me going through all my painful days was time alone with God. So you can use your pain to draw closer to God in worship. How do you do that? Well, here's what you do. You don't tell him what you think you ought to say. You tell him exactly how you feel. You cry out to God when you're in pain. God, I'm in pain. You argue with God. God, I don't like this pain. You tell God. You lament. One-third of the Psalms, 50 of the 150 Psalms, are Psalms of lament. They're crying out to God. They're arguing with God. Did you know that complaining to God is an act of worship? You can worship in all the phases of grief. You can express your shock. You can unload your sorrow. You can share your struggle, what you're feeling with the pain you're feeling. You can surrender yourself. You can ask God to use the pain for good in your life. Paul does this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. He says, when we were crushed and overwhelmed, and we saw how powerless we were to help ourselves, said, even that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, and he did help us. When I'm in pain, it's a time for me to draw closer to God, not further away. It's a time for me to trust God more, to worship God more, to turn to God more, to surrender to God more. When Matthew died, our family did a family surrender to God retreat. Yeah, we went over to Rancho Capistrano and did a day retreat on surrendering to God the pain that we were in. I could give you, friends, thousands of Saddleback stories of people who came to know Jesus out of their pain, or their lives were totally transformed in the process of worshiping when they were in pain. I'm sure many of you could say, pain turned me to Christ. And if you can say that, I say like Paul in 2 Corinthians 7:9, I'm glad not because it hurt you, but because the pain turned you to God. So the first thing we do in pain is we don't run from God, we run to Him. We turn to God in our pain. We let it draw us closer to God, to trust Him more, to worship more, to know Him and love Him more. Number two, the second purpose of your life is fellowship, learning to love other people. And you can do this. Number two, use my pain to draw closer to others in fellowship. Use my pain to draw closer to others in fellowship. If you will allow it, pain will deepen your love, pain will mature your love, because suffering sensitizes you. I have seen pain turn the most self-centered people into sympathetic people. When Matthew died, Kay and I knew the statistics that couples that have a child die. Nearly a third of those marriages end up splitting up with the death of a child because people grieve in different ways and they don't know how to handle it. But Kay and I have actually grown closer together since the death of our youngest child. I'm more in love with my wife than I was when I met her 50 years ago. If you can believe that, she was 2 years old, 50 years ago. You know, I asked Kay, why do you think we made it when we are so absolutely different in every cell of our bodies? I was hoping she'd say, because you're so nice to me. But that's not what she said. She said, because we intentionally worked at strengthening it and we gave each other grace. Pain will draw you closer to other people if you'll be honest to God, honest with yourself, and honest with others.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
As we look at the unprecedented things going on in our world today, it's clear we need to be equipped with the resources to handle whatever life throws at us. That's why Pastor Rick created a life-changing Bible study called Unshakable. This DVD and workbook study is based on the life of Daniel. In these 8 powerful video lessons, Rick teaches you how to handle life's most unexpected circumstances and extreme pressures, how to avoid compromising on what you believe is right in God's eyes, how to handle success, how to learn from your mistakes, and how to pray the kind of prayers that God answers. This study is perfect for your individual quiet time or in a small group setting. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Pain will draw you closer to other people if you'll be honest to God, honest with yourself, and honest with others. Pain, when you're in a small group, and you take a risk to share where you're in pain, it takes the level of fellowship to the deepest level. There are 4 levels of fellowship in a small group. There's the fellowship of sharing. Hey, how about them Chargers? How about them Rams? That's sharing. It's what's going on in your life. That's okay. It's the shallowest level, but it's okay. There's nothing wrong with sharing fellowship. But then the deeper level is studying. That's studying the Word together is a deeper level of fellowship. When we actually serve together, we do a project together as a small group, that takes our fellowship even deeper. Our small group went to Rwanda one time. We've done lots of different projects together in serving together. But the deepest level of fellowship of all is what the Bible calls the fellowship of suffering. Suffering together. Galatians 6:2 says, by helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. By helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love your neighbors yourself. The deepest love, true fellowship, shows up when people are in pain. That's why you're going to have to use your pain and you're going to have to enter into other people's pain to understand what real connection, what real koinonia, what real fellowship, what real belonging is all about. There's a third purpose in your life, and that's God wants you to use your life to grow in Christ in character. And here's the third way you use pain. Use pain to grow more like Jesus in discipleship. Use pain to grow more like Jesus in discipleship. I grow closer to him in worship. I grow closer to others in fellowship. I grow deeper in discipleship through pain. Every pain in your life is an opportunity to grow in character. How do you learn love when you feel unloved? How do you learn joy in the middle of grief? How do you learn peace when everything's in chaos? How do you learn patience when you're not feeling patient in the exact opposite situation? Again, this is a choice. Am I going to be bitter or better? Am I going to let this pain be a stepping stone to maturity or a stumbling block to immaturity? Spiritual growth is not automatic. I said this last week. I've learned nothing from pleasure in my life. Everything I've learned important in life, I learned through pain. We looked at this verse last week, Proverbs 20:30. Sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. Now, once you're saved, God's number one purpose in your life begins to be making you like Jesus Christ. You're born into God's family. Now he wants you to grow up. Now, here's the corollary to that. If God wants to make me like Jesus, that's his goal for my life. How does God make me like Jesus? The answer is this, by taking you through everything Jesus went through. Hello. Were there times when Jesus was lonely? Yes. Were there times when Jesus was frustrated? Yes. Misunderstood? Yes. Criticized? Yes. Were there times when Jesus was in pain? Yes. Look at these next two verses on your outline, Hebrews 5:8. So even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. If Jesus learned obedience from suffering, how do you think you're going to learn it? Hebrews 5:9 says, suffering made Jesus perfect, and now he can save forever all who obey him. If Jesus was made perfect through suffering, how do you think you're made perfect? How do you think you're matured? Same way. Folks, there are some things we only learn through pain. In that sense, pain becomes a gift. Pain becomes a friend. If we let it draw us closer to God in worship, draw us closer to others in fellowship, and draw us deeper in discipleship. You know, Paul complimented the way the Corinthian church had grown through their pain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11, I love this in the message. It says, now isn't it wonderful all the ways in which, listen, this distress has goaded you closer to God. Remember last week we talked about God uses pain to goad me and direct me, to move me in a direction. This distress has goaded you closer to God. Now, in this verse, I want you to notice as we read it, Paul mentions seven character qualities. And tell me if you wouldn't want to have these seven in your life. He says, because of the distress you've gone through, he says, you're more alive, you're more concerned, you're more sensitive, you're more reverent, you're more human, you're more passionate, and you're more responsible. Looked at it from any angle, you've come out of this with purity of heart. That's the scripture. Now, did you notice those seven qualities that he mentioned? You might want to go back and circle them there on your outline. If you want those seven qualities in your life, that's Christ-likeness, then ask God to use your pain. Okay? Don't waste your pain. Ask God to use it to build your character. The fact is, pain transforms us. It never leaves us where it found us. We start off in one area, we go through pain, and when we come out of the pain, we're at a different place in our lives every single time, hopefully more mature if we respond correctly. Now, I know you've been under a lot of stress for the last 2 years. They've been the two worst years probably in your life. But the number one quality of winners in life is this: resilience, the ability to bounce back. How do you become a resilient person? Well, Paul shows us how. Let me first read you Paul's testimony. Paul's testimony is in a couple passages. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here's what it says. It'll be on the screen. I've been put in jail. This is Paul talking. I've been put in jail more often, been whipped times without number. I've faced death again and again. He says, 5 different times I was whipped with 39 lashes. Imagine how many marks were on his back. 5 times 39. 3 times I was beaten with rods. He said, once I was stoned with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole day and a night adrift at sea. He said, I faced dangers from flooded rivers and dangers from robbers and dangers from angry mobs, and I faced dangers in the cities and in the deserts and on stormy seas, and I faced dangers from people who claim to be Christians but are not. He said, I've lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. He said, I've often been hungry and thirsty and gone without food. This is the greatest missionary in the history of Christianity. I've often shivered with cold without enough clothing to keep me warm, and besides all that, I've got the daily burden of all the churches that I've started. That sounds like a pretty discouraging life. And then he adds over in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians 1, 8 to 10, he says this: we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed and broken. That's resilience. Pressed but not broken. He said, we're perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. He says, we're hunted down, but God never abandons us. And he said, we get knocked down, but we get up again and we keep going. Through suffering, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Christ, of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Wow. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of resilience? Wouldn't you have that kind, like that kind of faith that you make it through, that nothing can destroy you in your life? What was the secret of Paul's resilience? Is the way he focused on. He had an eternal perspective and eternal purpose. Remember when I said this a few minutes ago? You can handle unbelievable pain if you see a purpose behind it. Well, this is why Paul was able to handle all those things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there in your outline, verses 16 and 17, says this. Paul says, this is the reason we never become discouraged. He's going to give it to you. He's going to tell you why he is resilient in the face of enormous pain, resilient in the face of enormous trials, tribulations, stress, sorrows, suffering. He says, we never give up. For this reason, we never become discouraged, even though our physical being is gradually decaying. Did you know your physical being is gradually decaying? Yet our spiritual being is being renewed day by day, day after day. And these temporary troubles, like the one I'm going through right now, these temporary troubles that we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. Where does all that kind of resilience come from? Here's the verse. Here's the key to resilience in your life. For we fix our attention. Here's what we do. We fix our attention. That means we focus our mind. We focus our mind not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. Because what can be seen lasts only for a little bit of time. But what cannot be seen lasts forever. This table can be seen, but one day this table will decay. The wood will fall apart. The iron on it will rot or rust. But what can't be seen, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, heaven and hell, those are going to last forever. All right, let's review. When I'm going through pain, if I want to use it for good in my own life, not waste my pain, I use it to let me draw me closer to God in worship, draw me closer to others in fellowship, learn to love others in fellowship. I use it to build my character, become more like Christ in discipleship. Number 4, use my pain to be more sensitive in serving others. That's the fourth purpose of your life. God wants to use pain to help you with the purpose of service, the purpose of ministry. You weren't put here to live for yourself. Now, how does pain help you be more effective in serving others? How does pain help you be more effective in ministering to others? Pain sensitizes you to the pain in others. You feel it in others. If you have gone through a divorce, you know what it feels like to be divorced. If you've gone through the loss of a loved one, you know what that feels like. If you faced cancer or any other major physical problem, you know what that feels like. If you've been rejected, you know what that feels like. Rather than focusing on my pain, I choose to redirect my focus in helping other people in pain with the same kind of pain. You see, Jesus wants to redeem your suffering. What does that mean? Redemptive suffering is when you use the pain you're going through to help other people. This is what Kay and I have tried to do with the loss of a child through suicide. We've tried to use our pain to help other people, and there's almost not a week goes by in all the years that have passed that somebody, famous or not famous, well-known or unknown, old or young, calls Kay or me or both of us and asks us for help. Why? Because they know we've been through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 to 6 says this, God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Then, when others are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, or if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle.com. Be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, as we look at these unprecedented things going on in our world today, it's clear we need to be equipped with the resources to handle whatever life throws at us. That's why Pastor Rick created a life-changing Bible study called Unshakable. This DVD and workbook study is based on the life of Daniel. In these 8 powerful video lessons, Rick teaches you how to handle life's most unexpected circumstances and extreme pressures. How to avoid compromising on what you believe is right in God's eyes. How to handle success. How to learn from your mistakes. And how to pray the kind of prayers that God answers. This study is perfect for your individual quiet time or in a small group setting. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
One of the challenges of living in a broken world is that everything falls apart eventually. On a global scale, we mourn when terrorists attack or when the stock market plummets. But on a personal scale, we're saddened when a loved one dies or when a spouse walks out of a marriage. And as much as we would like to think that we have it all together, we all face times when our worlds fall apart. If you think that your life is beyond repair, you're wrong. If you think it can't be restored, you're wrong. Jesus Christ is in the business of restoration and reconditioning and refurbishing and renewing and recovering that which is lost. Jesus once said, "I came to seek and to save that which is lost." Now, he not only seeks to save you, but also he wants to give you a fresh start in life. Not only you, but he wants to give you what you've lost. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is passed away. The new is come." God has something new and something better for you. No matter how broken your life may seem, no matter how badly things have fallen apart, Jesus Christ can make you whole again. In fact, he can make you whole for the very first time in your life. I hope that will encourage you.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.